Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here today. Always happy to be here with you all, even though I do believe I scratched my thumb trying to set up the microphone. Anyway, Silk or Joe Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network, so I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for supporting this program. It's been around in one form or another. It used to be called Jane, J-A-N-E, all capital letters, big old exclamation point at the end. That's what it was when I first started. That's what it was when the show first started, back in November of 2013. So you can imagine now we are in our 14th year of... in our 14th year of having existence, been around 13 years plus a month or two or three. So congratulations to this show for continuing so long. And I've been co-host, use that term loosely because Jane rarely hosts these days, but I've been, my name has been attached to the show for almost 5 years now. So keep it up. And if you want to keep us going, mainstreetradionetwork.com, visit their website, show them that they are important. Send them a nice email just saying you are important. There's a contact page on there for you to do that. And there's also podcasts for the program, description of the program. And while you're up there, check out the Alan Nathan Show, too, because I host that now several times a week. Alan Nathan is also at alannathan.com. That program is, anyway. Unfortunately, the late Alan Nathan is no longer in any space except our memories, and at alannathan.com and in the podcast where that are left over still up there from when he was still alive to host. So, and there's also articles, op-eds that he wrote at alannathan.com. And we are on social media too, Facebook at Main Street Radio, X at Main Street Radio. Actually, it's Facebook at Main Street Radio Network and X at Main Street Radio. Also, X at Alan Nathan. And on those outlets, you can find whether or not I'm hosting, because I'm, you know, well, that is whether or not I'm hosting the Alan Nathan Show. Because I can't really tell you on here, it already happened this week. What can I say? Although, actually, it already happened by the time you hear it. Full disclosure, because there's a flipping shutdown battle going on again, this program was taped a little bit earlier in the week, so I have no updates for you on that shutdown battle. But you get into a lot of stuff here nonetheless. Hopefully nothing's changed too much, though. Boy, everything's changing. So, Fox News, they have this poll out. 59% of Americans think ICE has been too aggressive. Probably because those Americans are being lied to. Because the left-wing insurgency is working. It's organized terrorism. Now, already nationwide we have nurses threatening to poison ICE agents and suggesting how the public at large might poison them as well. Take them out on dates, slip in a Mickey, do something to hurt them, maim them, kill them. Nurses, okay, healthcare workers are coming out against this. And then you have a whole nurses union that got mad because of that idiot nurse that got himself killed over in Minneapolis by bringing a gun when he intended to accost federal agents. Now, they keep playing up how this guy is a nurse, and that's probably, you know, helping with that 59% of Americans poll. But here's the thing. The guy showed up, he didn't have a medical kit on him. He didn't have any kind of ID on him. He had a gun and extra magazines on him. In fact, if someone like that, who was a nurse, showed up at January 6th, then the media wouldn't be even saying he's a nurse. The nurses' union would denounce him, say he wasn't one of their own at all. And the media would also be reporting that he had a semi-automatic pistol with high-capacity magazines, the same ones that the Democrats in the state of Virginia are about to ban. So suddenly he's a hero for not carrying anything medical or medical related, but rather carrying a pistol, and illegally, mind you, illegally carrying it because he had no ID on him. And in Minnesota, you have to have a permit if you're going to carry. That is, the permit has to be on your person if you are carrying your firearm. That's how it works. And he was breaking law already, but it really shouldn't surprise anyone. Part of the reason why left-wing cities have so many shootings in the first place is because the prosecutors are very soft on gun crimes. A favorite example for me to bring up is Washington, D.C., how they have this crazy lunatic who was like a teenager under 18 firing a gun at a library, just outside of it, just going all willy-nilly, blasting away, and he did not face any charges for it whatsoever. He went on to murder someone. That's the state of left-wing prosecution for gun crimes right there. They just, yeah, so what if you did it? Whatever. It's, sure, it's a law, but we're not going to enforce it. Unless you're a conservative. Unless you're a law-abiding citizen. Flash over to California, where they're perfectly happy to do the same thing. Unless you're a law-abiding citizen and legal gun owner, in which case you can expect 10 officers to show up at your house to make sure that your gun is being stored in compliance with whatever laws they have, which there's video online of. I've talked about it before, either on the show or the Alan Nathan show. It was like in 2023 that the video came out. You know, police just stormed this dude's house to make sure he had one firearm that he had was properly done, was stored according to California law. Meanwhile, criminals getting away with murder, getting away with all sorts of gun crimes. No problem. Police weren't bothering with them. Now, see, the issue with that is, it goes to why liberals like to say that their policies lead to less crime. It's because they doctored statistics. It's because when you stop prosecuting crimes, when you stop arresting people for crimes, suddenly crime drops. What a concept. Crime doesn't actually drop for the people in the community. You will still be robbed. You will still have a gun pointed at you. You might still be killed. But it's not going to be reported as that. They might just say, oh, dead body found, or this armed robbery that got pled down to, I don't know, misdemeanor assault. Something, some crazy stuff like that, just so they can keep the statistics. Because that's just the way liberals live, in their heads. They just look at their statistics and say, oh, well, I changed the numbers a little bit. I did this and that to change the numbers a little bit. Therefore, reality is fine. Everything's sunshine and daisies. But then actual reality kicks in for the people who vote for it. And suddenly they're thinking, well, gee whiz, my elected officials are saying that there's nothing going on here, but I'm experiencing more crime than I ever did. I guess that's just, and then that's where cognitive dissonance comes in. And you, instead of thinking that, back to when there wasn't any crime, you just say, well, this is just the price you pay for living in a city. It's just how everything is and always has been. But anyway, so this that got way sidetracked, but that's a little bit of the leftist mentality. And that is, you know, it's hard to segue back into how they view federal law enforcement as illegitimate. Well, I guess it is. And because, again, reality is manufactured in their heads. Therefore, the reality they're manufacturing is somehow ICE doesn't have legal authority. Federal law doesn't apply because the city's mayor said so. No, federal law supersedes what you're doing there, buddy. So there's that issue there. But with this particular matter, though, this idiot nurse, this nurses union came out and just outright threatened ICE. So you can imagine how many members of that union are now not going to do anything, are going to refuse to treat or mistreat even patients who are ICE, or they mistaken for ICE, because that's happening a lot too. People are getting stalked in Minneapolis because this network of domestic terrorists there, they have this reporting service where they actually can scan your license plate. They actually have a record of license plates, and they have a way to get information on the car owner based on the license plate. James O'Keefe found that out, the guy who goes around doing all the hidden camera stuff. He was driving along, they found saw his license plate, they scanned it, they got his phone number. Now, how can you do that unless you have someone on the inside? Fortunately, the FBI announced they were investigating it. Unfortunately, it's the FBI. How much has it really changed since the Biden era? How many people have been fired? How many people have been released? How many people have quit? Because how much has the culture changed? And also because it's the Republicans, the do-nothing Republicans. The Republicans who like to just sit there and talk on and on about how bad everything is. We'll do a committee hearing. We'll do an investigation. We'll get to the bottom of this. There will be charges in the future. And then the future comes and it turns out nothing happened. It just reminded me of a Simpsons bit there where he was told that, where he's babbling on about how he had to pay the mortgage and or pay off a loan or something. He says, you said I had to pay it off in the future, but right now. It's not the future. That seems to be what the Republicans mean when they say the future. They have Homer Simpson's definition of the future, which says a lot about why the party keeps losing, but I digress. So there is, as we've seen, and meanwhile, the Democrats, they're all for the now, and we've seen that the Democrat politicians in Minnesota are involved in this insurrection against the federal government, trying to stop the federal government from enforcing federal immigration law, which the Supreme Court has ruled is for the federal government and not the states to enforce. So the federal government has to do it, and the states have no authority over the federal government doing it. The states can't say it one way or the other that the federal government can't be enforcing immigration law. And contrary to the mental lightweights like Ocasio-Cortez, the federal government needs to enforce immigration in cities like Minneapolis because guess what? There's illegal immigrants living there. What a concept. Federal government enforces immigration against illegal immigrants. I know that's not something that really happened under the Biden administration. It's not something Democrats like to do because that's where their money, power, and votes come from these days. But it is something that needs to be done. And the states, again, thanks to Obama-era shenanigans, have no say in the matter. They kind of played themselves back then, thinking they'd have a Democrat president forever. Well, now they don't. Now they have a Republican president who has been empowered by their very own rulings to go in and clean things up. So, unfortunately, the media has taken a totally different view, just painted ICE as the occupying force and the terrorist, when, in fact, they are fighting an insurgency and terrorist just to do their job, a job everyone wanted them to do. Rich Silker just had this.
Competing in the Cox Mobile phone case design contest to showcase their vision of a world within reach, future icons. One of the contest judges is actor and Boys and Girls Club's alum, Mario Lopez.
More than a creative challenge, this contest is a launch pad for life-changing opportunities. Through two $25,000 scholarships, Cox Mobile is helping high school Boys and Girls Club members turn dreams into reality. Whether that's becoming a forensic scientist, an artist, an engineer, or a future icon in their own right, in addition to the scholarships, winners will receive tech grants for their local clubs, extending the impact to benefit entire communities. By combining creativity, connectivity, and opportunity, Cox Mobile and Boys and Girls Clubs of America are helping teens unlock their potential and build brighter futures.
Go to cox.com/phonecasecontest to vote daily for your favorite phone case design.
Coaching college cheer has been my life's work. I have put together the most disciplined teams to ever take the mat. Oh, this is not them.
In the tradition of The Office and Parks and Recreation, NBC's new hit comedy Stumble is a mockumentary about the high-stakes competitive world of junior college cheer. Jen Lyon stars as Coach Courtney Potter, who needs one more trophy to be crowned the winningest coach in college cheer history. But after getting fired for partying with her team, she must start over and coach a bunch of misfits at a junior college in a tiny Oklahoma town. Kristen Chenoweth also stars as the hilarious Coach Tammy, along with Saturday Night Live alum Taryn Killam as Boone.
In order to qualify for the Nationals, I've got to get a team to cheer camp. I'm giving you the opportunity to toss girls in the air and get all the attention you want.
Damn, that's my dream.
Don't miss the hit comedy Stumble, returning Friday nights on NBC in January. The first six episodes are now streaming on Peacock.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with an important tip to save you money on your prescriptions. Imagine affordable medication and programs that get rid of the root cause of chronic conditions such as elevated blood sugar, blood pressure, and difficulty remembering your keys or maybe even where your car is. PD Labs Pharmacy is a special compounding pharmacy providing service, solutions, and access to on-site trained telemedicine staff available to answer your questions. Today, many people have discovered personalized prescriptions tailored to you with powerful results such as feeling better. Check out our website, pdlabsrx.com. Our nationwide coverage in 26 years in pharmacy allows us to offer medications at almost half the price of local pharmacies. Switch your pharmacy to PD Labs and experience the real service without the expensive bill. Call us at 888-909-0110. That's 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk Road Joe, Chevrolet co-host Joe with you all today, and we are joined for this segment by Charles Goyette. He is a New York Times bestselling author and award-winning talk show host, having co-hosted Ron Paul's America with the former congressman, and he has appeared often on national television, on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. I don't know if he's been on there with its MS Now label, but he's also been on CNBC, Fox Business News, and PBS, with his latest book being Empire of Lies, Fragments from the Memory Hole. Charles Goyette, happy having the show. How are you today?
So thank you so much for having me on your show, to both of you.
Well, glad to have you. So your book, Empire of Lies, Fragments from the Memory Hole, that has something to do with, I assume, America's military interventions abroad.
It sure does. And I'm rather amazed. I think everybody should be a little bit dumbfounded by all the MAGA people that were no more regime change wars, no more foreign interventions, make America great again. And suddenly with Venezuela, so many of them changed, and now we're on the brink of a new attack, according to President Trump, on Iran. That is not how we're going to make America great, in my view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in Venezuela, you can make a tangential argument, vaguely related, because something about oil and the Venezuelan government regime seizing our oil, and then also their narco-terrorism going on here. But then when you come to Iran, you know, that's just, what does that have to do with the U.S.?
Now, what does that have to do with the U.S.? And just to back up to Venezuela for a second, you know, 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago today, President Obama, the deep state has targeted Venezuela for a very long time for regime change. 10 years ago today, Americans missed it, but President Obama put out a national security alert citing the great national security threat that we faced from Venezuela. At the time, it wasn't about drugs. There's always a pretext for these regime change wars. They generally don't turn out to be true, and the pretext shift from day to day to day. Under Obama, the pretext was it's a national security threat, and now it's, you know, because of narco-terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just, the you know, the Biden administration, they also put out a bounty for Maduro's head. So, you know, it's actually kind of interesting, the public's reaction. You have the Trump supporters, the ones who are, you know, don't want this sort of thing, coming out and being in support of it. But then you have the folks who've been wanting it, the neoconservatives, the Democrats, coming out and saying, wow, this is terrible. Why did we do this?
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the bounty. This is another irony, that the kind of thing that I cover so well in the book, that the American people really need to know if they want to know where we're headed. But you know that that we had a $10 million bounty on the head of Jolani, who was a head chopper, Al-Qaeda type in Syria. And now, as one of my friends said, they gave him a Patek Philippe watch, trimmed his beard a little bit, put him in an Armani suit, and they turned the whole country over to him. We had a $10 million bounty on his head for his terrorism and head chopping, and now we've turned him over. He's been a guest in the White House. How does this happen?
Yeah, that is a interesting question. Is it just the lesser of evils over there that we can pick from, or is there just some other motivation behind it? Because Syria has been a mess that actually the U.S.'s foreign policy has contributed to a bit. I mean, the movements over there had been getting military support from the U.S. in the terms of small arms. I mean, I remember back when the whole Benghazi thing happened, there was this conspiracy theory, I don't know if it was ever proven, about there being arms shipments going into Syria that this was really about.
Yeah, and actually, and I detail that in the book too, that is what it was really about. It was a rat line. That was the whole point of the death of the ambassador there, and all of that had to do with gun running from Libya to Syria. We were in the peculiar position. This goes on all the time with the deep state. It has nothing to do with the American people. It has to do with other interests that are often hidden from us. But we had the CIA arming fundamentalists and al-Qaeda interests in Syria on one side of the battle, while the Pentagon was arming and funding other Islamic fundamentalists on the other side. So, I mean, I guess if you're a weapons manufacturer, that's really good, because you're selling, you know, you're selling goods to both sides, paid for by the American taxpayer. I guess that's a win, but it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, I was wondering how much of this is being directed by weapons manufacturers. I mean, there was the There's the war in Ukraine, for example, where certainly our weapons manufacturers have been making bank off of that one. And then there's also, allegedly, some of those weapons ended up going to Hamas. So now it's like Hamas and Israel both using weapons manufactured in the U.S. ultimately is the origin.
It's the same old game over and over and over again. So, yeah, the merchants of death, the weapons manufacturers fund think tanks, and the think tanks, write editorials, fomenting wars where the American people have absolutely no interest whatsoever, and don't really care. We take sides in a 1,500-year-old schism between Sunnis and Shia that the American people don't care about, care nothing about, aren't interested in. And we take sides in these things, make enemies for America around the world. It wastes our national resources, but you're right. It sure does line the pockets of Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and other companies.
Yeah, that's sort of how we got dragged into World War I, in part, because we were supplying arms to both sides originally. And then when Britain managed to, cut off the Germans pretty well, we just said, well, we're not going to, be equal here. We're just going to keep giving to the Entente? Yeah, the Entente is who we'll just keep giving to them.
Yeah, it's the oldest game in the world. And when you extend credit, when you're the deep state creditors, you extend credit to one side and they get reluctant to pay you back, then you have to beef up the other side. And then the side that you originally lent to, gets more serious. Oh, we got to pay these guys back. And so it's a balance of power politics, and it's all an entire joke, and it's all funded by the American people at the cost of their well-being. And I think that's so important to note here in the time that we have remaining, because an empire like ours that is dying around the world, its currency is being rejected by central banks around the world, its place in the global hegemony is in decline around the world. There's a syndrome that's called the imperial overstretch, and they often, including the U.S., they see their dying influence, their retraction of global hegemony, as not the fact that they can't keep up their economic growth because they're diverting all their money to the military. They see it as a military challenge, and so they exacerbate the trend by spending more on military hegemony, starving the productive economy along the way. This is a pattern that's gone on over and over and over again, and it's obviously going on in this country now. Trump, we already spend more on our military than the next, 7 or 8 nations in a row, but that's $1 trillion a year, and Trump just asked us to bump it up to $1.5 trillion a year. $1.5 trillion a year? Well, we're going to be $40 trillion in debt at the end of this year. We don't have any money.
And I certainly think that that money could be much better spent. I mean, even at the funding levels that we have for the military, you root out some of the corruption. Trump last year, Trump and Elon Musk were talking about the corruption with how the contracts were done in the military. And I don't know if that had ever changed or not, but if it had, it sounds like we wouldn't have had to increase the budget at all.
You are so right. And here's how bad it is getting. And the American people, I know your listeners need to know this. Last year, the United States was adding $1 trillion in new national debt every 150 days. Now, this year, the U.S. is adding $1 trillion in national debt every 71 days. This is a train wreck happening in slow motion, and you see it reflected in the decline of the dollar and the price of gold and silver around the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charles Coley, Ed, I'm actually going to ask if you can stay on the program for the next segment, if at all possible. But in the 10 seconds we have left, where can the listeners get a copy of your book, Empire of Lies?
We're happy to do it.
Okay, great. And listeners, during the break, his book is titled Empire of Lies, Fragments from the Memory Hole, something you can look up. We have more Silk Road Joe Show on the other side.
Urinary tract infections are incredibly common. More than 60% of women will experience at least one urinary tract infection in their lifetime, and many have recurrent. I recommend multiple preventative steps in an effort to lower the risk of recurrent infection. Wipe from front to back when using the toilet. Always urinate after sexual activity in an effort to mechanically flush bacteria from the urethra. Hydrate well on a daily basis to flush the urinary system in general, and consider a supplement like Eucora Flush Advanced Plus, a new product with clinical strength whole fruit cranberry, which works to make the bladder more slippery to the common bacteria that cause urinary tract infection. This supplement also contains D-mannose, so the supplement itself works in a dual action way. Please visit eucora.com to get more information about general urinary health and, of course, to see our product offer.
Hope can begin in the smallest of places. A classroom with one teacher who never gives up. A safe space where a child finally feels seen. A clean cup of water where there was none before. Go Campaign finds the local heroes creating that hope every day. These are grassroots leaders lifting children up with education, safety, healing, and opportunity. Often quiet, often without recognition, but always with extraordinary courage. Go supports their work, strengthens their impact, and helps children imagine a future brighter than their circumstances. When local heroes are empowered, children thrive. And even the smallest support can ignite a lifetime of change. To stand with these heroes and be part of something truly meaningful, visit gocampaign.org. I'm Ewan McGregor, and together we can help make the world brighter for every child.
January is Financial Wellness Month, but many of us are starting the year under pressure. With credit card debt hitting a record $1.23 trillion, the instinct is to pivot into restrictive resolutions to fix the problem. But our new survey shows that traditional goal setting is no longer working. 83% of people let their goals slip last year, and only 45% believe these resolutions actually improve their health. Sustainable progress starts with understanding the emotions and values that drive our money decisions. When we align our finances with our values, we can navigate debt with resilience instead of shame. So instead of asking, what should I cut, try asking, what matters most to me? When spending reflects your values, change becomes sustainable. By starting with self-awareness instead of self-criticism, consumers can better understand where their financial values come from and establish goals and behaviors that feel supportive rather than restrictive. You can find our full survey and more information at beyondfinance.com.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. Everybody, Silker Joe Show, co-host Joe with y'all today. And we're still joined for the segment by Charles Goyette, New York Times bestselling author and award-winning talk show host, whose latest book is Empire of Lies, Fragments from the Memory Hole. So Charles Goyette, there's lessons here that the public at large and administrations don't seem to take from previous interferences and overseas adventures. Like one item that I believe is mentioned in your book is Libya. And here we are doing, you know, much the same thing we did with Gaddafi, but down in Venezuela.
Yeah. Yep, you're right. Libya was an absolute disaster. That was Hillary Clinton's doing in the Obama administration. And the really ironic thing is, that Libya and Gaddafi were willing to demilitarize, to step down their weapons and their defense structure in return for some sort of security assurances. And once he had done so, it was too late. You know, John Bolton, President Trump's warmongering national security guy, and Vice President Pence told dear leader Kim Jong-un in South Korea, we want you to follow the Libyan model. Well, the Libyan model was you de-arm, you step down your armaments, and then you get invaded and you get, you get sodomized with a bayonet. So you get put to death by the mobs that are loosed on the street. And yet we tried to entice him to follow the Libyan model of de-arming and getting empty verbal assurances that nothing would happen. It's just been one disgusting episode after another. The American people really want to come home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually Ukraine started out that way too. They were told to disarm, remove their nuclear weapons, and they did, and in exchange for some empty promises about defense. And then 30 years later, Russia comes and invades, and all we do is give them some military aid and extend the war as profitably as possible, I guess, for the arms industry. You know, it's almost like the pharmaceutical industry not bothering to give a cure, but rather bothering with creating pharmaceuticals to prolong the symptoms. And as if we really wanted to get into a war over there anyway.
Yeah, as though we wanted to get into a war. You know, the American people were very appreciative of JFK the way stood down the threat of a nuclear war. They really understood what was going on in 1962 with the missiles of Cuba, and they appreciated his success in stepping that down. There were warmongers at the time that wanted to turn it into a general global conflagration, but we came awfully close in Ukraine as well in a second Cold War to nuclear exchange. Both sides kept changing their nuclear usage posture. You know, Russia originally was, our nuclear weapons are only for deterrence and won't be used. And by the time we kept moving forces in and expanding NATO and so on and so forth, they started changing their posture to make it more readily possible for them to initiate the use. And last year at this time, the New York Times, much too late to matter, as is always the way with the New York Times, but they finally did a lengthy report called The Partnership, The Secret History of the War in Ukraine, interviewed hundreds of people, and detailed just how close we came to nuclear nuclear exchanges in that war. The U.S. was involved in killing Russian soldiers on Russian soil, which was a red line. And unlike 1962, when the media reported the dangers that we were facing, in Ukraine, the national lapdog press basically tried to sweep it under the carpet, keep it unknown to the American people. They don't know just how reckless our policies were there.
Yeah, and it came out actually last year that also USAID was funding a large chunk of Ukraine's free press. So you have to wonder how much of that money paid into keeping this buried.
Yeah, and I ask that question all the time, that we're throwing money into, subverting elections in places around the world. $5 billion we spend on regime change in Ukraine. We've spent money in Russia. But, how much would we like it if, for example, China started sending money to the United States for democracy seminars and voter enrollments and so on? It'd be highly suspicious, and it would be highly provocative, too. And yet we feel we can do that kind of stuff with impunity in the world.
Actually, there were revelations. I'm looking it up right now. Peter Schweitzer, the Invisible Coup, that's the name of his latest book, actually outlines how some foreign countries seem to be taking steps along those lines to interfere with America, much the same way that we've interfered with them, with foreign countries. And, it's not like this is anything new. I remember back 2017 or 2018, when all that stuff about, Russia interfered in our elections, this is an act of war. There are politicians actually saying this is an act of war, we need to go to war over it. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute, how many times have we interfered in elections? Like, didn't we just last year, the year before, have a scandal where Obama was sending taxpayer money to Israel's elections to fund Netanyahu's opponent? Like, we have our hands in everyone's pies. Why don't we expect the opposite to be true?
Everyone. It was the very purpose of the National Endowment for Democracy. It was the very purpose of all these NGOs to take money from the American taxpayer to do deep state operations, deep state, which I call the executive arm of the global military empire, and carries out the desires of the global military empire. So the American taxpayers are paying, unknown to themselves, for the deep state to fund provocations around the world that will further the cost and the endangerment of the American people. It made no sense at all, and yet still we haven't wound down all of those NGO operations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and despite some effort by the Trump administration, some promises made to rout it out, we're still having taxpayer money wasted. And that's a sticking point, too, in addition to continuing with interfering in foreign affairs the way that President Trump has been. And it seems at this point that he's just kind of, I hate to say it, unleashed from what his campaign promises were and what got him elected, because he doesn't really have to worry about a future election. Is that just because that's how he is, or is he getting bad advice from some neocons he happened to hire? Because he certainly had that problem in his first term.
He sure did. And he remains surrounded by them in many ways. I mean, obviously, Marco Rubio is a neocon, and there are many, many others in the administration. But I fault the American people because they are so easily switched. They are so easily flipped. One day it's no regime change wars. The next day they're applauding them. It's a deep psychological problem, and it's one that's been identified for a very long time. In advance of the war, if you have enough flags festooned around and you've got flyovers and chests, bedecked with ribbons and so on, that creates kind of the mythic idea of war. Oh, war, our heroes, marching parades, and, it's all very wonderful. And then on the other side, it's not the mythic experience any longer of swelled chests and brass bands. It's the sensory experience of, little children blown up, their parents left limbless, cities razed, towns destroyed, infrastructure gone, people starving in the streets. I mean, it's a very, very ugly thing. And it's this syndrome between the mythic experience that they use to beat the drums of war in advance and then the sensory reality that strikes us only later is as old as time. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem about it, about a veteran called Tommy, and he says, oh, it's Tommy this and Tommy that. In other words, get out of here, you're a nuisance to us after the war. Tommy, Tommy this, Tommy that. But when the band begins to play, it's Mr. Tompkins, we need you now.
Indeed, we're seeing, one thing I keep seeing about these, the fraud that we're finding out that the government has been engaged in with, the Somali daycares and all that stuff, $10 billion, whatever the figure is today. Some people are saying, well, we're spending all that, but what are we spending on the veterans? What help are the veterans getting? And then you also have to wonder how much fraud is in our veteran care system. So, we seem to have our own Tommy problem here.
Yep, we do. And it's a crying shame. And it's even worse because none of it had to happen. None of it had to happen. All of this could have been forestalled. There were people, there were people that knew that the Iraq war, there was no shortage of people that knew that the Iraq war was a flim-flam, that there were no weapons of mass destruction. One of the anecdotes I cover in the book just for illustration purposes is the story about the aluminum tubes. The aluminum tubes were supposedly, to be used for the nuclear enrichment program under Saddam Hussein, which didn't exist. We found these aluminum tubes. Our own Energy Department guys involved in that kind of technology said they're not suitable. They're not aluminum tubes for nuclear enrichment program. Nevertheless, the Vice President, Dick Cheney, and Scooter Libby leaked it to their asset at the New York Times, Judith Miller, and she wrote a front page story with misleading information, incorrect information about these aluminum tubes that were to be used for nuclear enrichment and Saddam's nuclear weapons program that didn't exist. So, but the irony of it, this is like an old baseball play of tinkerers to others to chance. The administration creates the story. They fed it to a lapdog press at the New York Times. And then Vice President Cheney appears the following Sunday on Meet the Press, and he says, oh, the aluminum tubes, it's a nuclear weapons program. They're so advanced in their nuclear weapons program, yada, yada. He said, but don't take it from me. Here's the story this morning in the New York Times, and he holds it up. So the story that they fed to the New York Times is used by him as independent evidence on another lapdog press venue of the danger posed by Saddam's non-existent nuclear weapons program. It's simply insane.
Unfortunately, that is, regardless of which side the media is on, that is what they have become. I mean, that's part of what we see with the Venezuelan issue, where, you know, the Trump supporters, because they are Trump supporters, they feel they have to support Trump, and then suddenly their views change, and then you get lapdog press supporting that when there's so many other issues to be had. But Charles Guay, I'd appreciate you being on the show to talk about all this. We've got 5 seconds left. Where can our listeners get a copy of Empire of Lies?
Oh, try Amazon. Empire of Lies, Fragments from the Memory Hole.
All right, listeners, check that out. We're at a break. More on the other side.
The new year is a perfect time to embrace a healthier lifestyle. Dawn Jackson Blattner, a registered dietitian nutritionist, is sharing how you can help champion your nutrition goals this year.
Eggland's Best has teamed up with gold medalist Katie Ledecky to help families fuel their bodies like champions. Whether you're chasing small or big goals in 2026, your body deserves quality nutrition, starting with better eggs. As a dietitian, I love Eggland's Best eggs for their top-tier nutrition. With 6 times more vitamin D, 10 times more vitamin E, and 25% less saturated fat compared to ordinary eggs. They're perfect in recipes like my protein pancake bowls and fitness snack packs. Kick off the year by entering Eggland's Best Champion Sweepstakes. You can enter daily from now to March 10th at ebfamilysweeps.com for the chance to win $5,000 and exclusive swag signed by Katie Ledecky.
To learn more and to enter the sweepstakes, visit ebfamilysweeps.com. No purchase necessary.
Foundational health is about supporting the core systems that affect how we feel every day through consistent daily support. Even those who eat well can still fall short on key nutrients due to busy lifestyles and modern diets. That's where the Vitamin Shop, the leading destination for lifelong wellness solutions, comes in. For men, I recommend the Garden of Life Organics Men's Once Daily Multivitamin, which provides essential nutrients like vitamin D3, selenium, and B12, and the V-Thrive, the Vitamin Shop Bioactive Men's Multivitamin, which is a great high-potency formula. For women, I recommend the Garden of Life Women's Doctor-Formulated Probiotics, and magnesium is another key nutrient. The Garden of Life Magnesium Gummies are an easy option, as well as the Pure Encapsulations Magnesium Glycinate. You can find all of these products at the Vitamin Shop and thevitaminshop.com.
The Medicare annual enrollment period runs each year from October 15th through December 7th, and it's an important time of year for the millions of Americans who already enjoy Medicare coverage. It's their chance to compare plan options for 2026. We know that Medicare coverage can be confusing. One thing I recommend to help navigate through the process is really focus on two things: cost and coverage. For cost, you want to consider things like the plan's premium, deductibles, copay or coinsurance. And for coverage, you should look not only at the medical coverage, things like hospital and doctor visits, but also prescription drug coverage and any extra benefits. The annual enrollment period runs from October 15th through December 7th. It's a great time to compare those cost and coverage of the plans available. Lots of options to consider for your Medicare choices in 2026. To help you navigate, I would recommend starting with a visit to MedicareEducation.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of 3 boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy
It's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show, everybody. My God. Sorry. Welcome back to the Silkworm Joe Show, everybody. I don't know where the disconnect was, because in my brain, I was thinking Silkworm Joe Show, and then out of my mouth came Al and Nathan Show. And that's the second time I've said that this hour of the program. So from my perspective, I'm actually going to be hosting the show later in the week, just to let y'all know this is a pre-record, because probably stuff's going to be changing, such as the government shutdown fight, so I can't comment on that. But anyway, this is all recorded earlier in the week, but yeah, I don't know why my brain just decided to blurt that out, or my mouth decided to, because my brain, like I said, that my brain had Silkworm Joe Show on the mind. I don't know, maybe it's just because I say Silkworm Joe Show co-host Joe for both occasions, but anyway... getting back to what I was starting with the first statement about the rioting in Minneapolis and all that, it's, you know, and the public support for the insurgents, I suppose, with this Fox News poll, 59% of the public think ISIS being too aggressive. Now, in my opinion, perhaps, you know, maybe ICE is being too aggressive because this isn't the job that they're supposed to be doing. They're dealing with insurgents now. That's why these protesters are getting killed, because they're not protesters. They're domestic terrorists. They are insurgents. That both of them so far have been part of a network that we found, or not we, I didn't do anything to it, but Cam Higby and others have found to be this network of left-wingers with support some Minnesota government officials and city officials that is designed to interfere with ICE operations. They send people to interfere with ICE operations. They track ICE vehicles. They have someone who can run license plates and get phone numbers of the people who own the vehicles. So, hypothetically, if I went out there and was tailed by one of these people, they could get my license plate, my phone number, and threaten me, like they did to James O'Keefe, as I mentioned in the opening segment. So this is definitely a domestic terrorist organization that is at play. The FBI is rightly investigating it. Unfortunately, ICE is caught with it, caught fighting these people in the streets, and they are there to stop ICE. They are there to interfere with federal operations, which actually means that ICE is justified kind of using lethal force here, because these are domestic terrorists. Trump just needs to outright declare them as such, because, well, that'd just be calling a duck at that point. That's what this insurgency is designed to do. They are terrorizing the ICE agents and anyone who they feel is a conservative or a conservative journalist, as Cam Higby found out when he got ambushed by them. And their goal is to effect political change via terror, terrorizing the opposition into submission, which seems to be working with the public so far. Again, that Fox News poll. And we can't let that work, because if it does, they're not going to stop there. They're going to come out anywhere that Trump is, anywhere that Trump supporters are. They're going to realize that they can work with impunity. They can make the Trump administration back down. That must mean the Trump administration is spineless. Therefore, they can go after everyone who displeases them, which might end disastrously, depending on who they go after, especially if it's someone who has nothing to lose. But in fact, they don't care. They've already lost two in this battle. They've lost two, many injured. They don't give a damn. They're going to keep coming. Now, some of it is pure ideology. Some of it is pure ideology. Some of these people are just so absolutely bananas around the bend that they feel that they are justified in their terrorism. They are freedom fighters, not terrorists. And even though it's feminists and part of the Me Too movement holdovers who are protecting rapists in their communities, they don't really see the problem with that. They want those rapists there. They would prefer to have a rapist next door to them than a Trump supporter. And in fact, they apologize for these people too. So that's part of the problem as well. It's why it's called suicidal empathy. These people just feel And it's actually a severe form of racism, too, where they just feel that these people are so inferior to them, so unable to adjust to Western norms, that to expect them to obey the law is racist. And some of the fraud that this has been papering over, and is part of the reason why the protests are getting so extreme in the first place, some of the fraud that it's being used as a smokescreen to cover has been justified by people saying, well, that's just Somali culture. That's all. It's their culture. They are saying bigotry of low expectations. Al Sharpton, of all people, used that term. Bigotry of low expectations. You look at their skin color and you think they can't behave any better than they are. And you say, well, we must adjust to your level. We must make adjustments and make a... you know, excuses for you, because you can't behave any better, and we're not going to expect you to. Hence why they tolerate these rapists. And, you know, it's the same ideology, really, behind the Ku Klux Klan. It's the same ideology behind segregation. It's just packaged in modern terms by a little bit of self-flagellation by white liberals. Oh, it's our fault that you're this way. It's our fault that you're ignorant, an ignorant savage. And we're just not going to call you an ignorant savage. You know, it's like what I was talking about in the opening segment with crime. Instead of calling out the bad behaviors, they're just saying bad is not bad anymore. Bad is good. Fraud is good. Rape is good. Or rape is our fault, and therefore it's excused. Murder is our fault, and therefore it's excused. And here comes the Trump administration trying to enforce laws which, you know, on the one level interfere with the fraud that's going on in Minnesota, and then on the other level serves to hold these people accountable for their actions, engage in personal responsibility, and thus serves as a counterpoint to the left-wing worldview that you can't do such things. Well, he's the bad guy. He's got to go. They're protecting more than just the fraud. They're protecting their worldview by doing this. And besides, they probably just love living in such interesting times, because then they get to talk about how virtuous they are. I've talked before on the show how, like, none of those protesters aren't getting paid in some way, shape, or form, whether it's the various left-wing money groups, billionaires that are funding the protests, or it's the protesters who are there for social media clout. There's, like, nobody who's actually there that's there altruistically and not getting any kind of benefit out of it. So that's also another issue with it. And they seem to think that they had some kind of impunity as well, that they can just go up to these ICE agents. Because local police, they can do that to local police. They can terrorize local police, no problem. They're told to stand down. You remember 2020? Entire police precincts were abandoned to the mobs. But the ICE agents, they weren't standing down. They weren't backing off. And that probably upset liberals even more. And that's how liberals got upset at Trump. Unlike other Republicans, he didn't stand down. He didn't back down. He stood his ground. He dug in. And that drove them up the wall. Their previous tactics for kowtowing, for making Republicans cave in, failed with him. Just like it's failing with the ICE agents. The tactics that would make law enforcement cave in failed. Well, at least until Greg Bovino got replaced by Tom Homan. But Tom Homan probably ain't no slacker either, so we'll see how that goes from here. Gee whiz, I wanted to get into the Ilhan Omar thing and how she had that false flag with the, what I assume is a false flag, where she got sprayed with apple cider vinegar right as the New York Times turned on her, right as her winery was found out to be a total scam, and she had to erase it from the internet. She needed that PR stunt. There, I got that in real quick. Amidst all those investigations, she just wanted to change the narrative to racism. The media bought it hook, line, and sinker, go figure. And that left-wing act... well, allegedly it was a left-wing activist, and there are pictures allegedly of him with LGBTQ plus children. So, hardly a right-winger. Anyway, Silk or Joe Show is at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-978-0600 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.